All right, so yeah, I'm a slave of Christ named Nathaniel, also called Natty P. So I'm going to be sharing my story with you. Well, it's not my story, it's God's, but I'm sharing that with you this morning. Two big fears come to me right off the bat. Is the first one is that you might think I'm made of more promising stuff than you, and the other fear is that you might think I'm way more disgusting and worse than you. But God says in Romans 9 that that he makes unholy vessels and holy vessels out of the same lump of clay. So don't forget we're from the same lump of clay. If you go ahead and turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23 is where we're going to be camping out. And it's really important that you go there with me, because these are the words of God, and you need to test what I say against this, because I'm not the standard this is. All right. Okay, so these are the words of the living God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you've given it to us to teach us and to make us disciples. I pray for these kids that are within hearing range of the message today, and that you would just speak into their hearts and just give them ears to hear. For the sake of your glorious name, amen. All right, so so when we're looking at this text, it's really important to know the context. This text comes at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, and so Jesus had just laid down all of these commands, all the blesseds and the beatitudes, or the woes. He's telling people, like, if you want to be my disciples, this is how you have to live. So all these things, and the temptation is, okay, here's the list. Let's keep the list. Let's do the rules, and we're good. And so Jesus says that there will be two types of people on that day. There'll be the Lord, Lord sayers, is what I like to call them, and these are your heavy hitters. These aren't your Christmas and Easter attenders. These are people who got in the Bible every day. They went out and they witnessed and they did all these great things. Then you have, on the other side, the people that Jesus says, I knew you. So I'm going to go through basically the story of how Jesus came to me. And I used to be a Lord, Lord sayer. When I was your age, my mom came and brought us all to church. And I would sit in middle school class. And I didn't really like being here, to be honest with you. We didn't have the same good stuff that we have from Adam, who sets it up so that we can be reaching out the adults. He trains us to come up and take care of the ones that seem lonely, and I was the lonely one, and nobody ever came up to me, and I always felt left out. So, but I was a pretty good kid. Some of my good deeds maybe. That before I would have said as a Lord, Lord sayer. When I was 6 years old, I remember distinctly, I was on the potty and I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and so I had checked the box, I was good. Jesus was in my heart. Now I had, dear Jesus, please come into my heart. And that was that. And so, like, I had a lot of good deeds. Like, I was good in school. Whenever I was in sixth grade, I had perfect attendance. When I was in eighth grade, I won this award where, like, all the other kids voted for me to get this award, where it was, I was the most straight-laced kid. I didn't say any cuss words and all this stuff. And so I was a good kid when I was your age. And so, and I played sports. I was always into sports. I was on the team for baseball and football in college different times because I got hurt playing football. I had good grades in high school. I had a 3.4 average, which I don't know, maybe some of you are superstars and have 4.0s, but that was good enough for me. And then in college, I got even better grades, and I graduated, it's called cum laude. I don't know what that means. Maybe with some laude. I don't know. I was a teacher. I've been to law school. And so by anyone's stretch of imagination, I was a good guy or a Lord. I could say, Lord, look at what I've done, you know. But the problem is before Jesus found me, I had a fake religion. The religion I've come to, as I've studied what happened to me and looked at it, is called moralistic therapeutic deism. Now, I'll explain what that means. It's a big term. Basically, from an article I found on the internet, the main beliefs are a God exists who created and ordered the world and watches over human life on earth. God wants me to be good, nice, and fair to others, as is taught in the Bible. My central goal in life is to be happy and feel good about myself. God does not need to be particularly involved in my life except when God is needed to resolve a problem. And then people who are good or ask Jesus into their hearts go to heaven at the end. So, and then I made another definition. It's an ADP simple definition. Moralistic. A moralistic is like morals. You hear morals. And so you try to keep the rules, especially the one about asking Jesus into your heart. That's a number one rule. You got to keep that one. And then there's other rules you got to keep, too. Therapeutic, you hear the word therapy in there. It's like therapy because either you can't live up to the rules even as you've modified them, and so you get crushed and you feel bad, and so you got to go to God for some counseling and some therapy. Or you might just need some more of his stuff to feel better about yourself, one of the two. And deism's like, if you study religions, deism is like God made a watch and left it on the beach, but he's not really there. So that's my old religion. And the scary thing is it looked like Christianity. Like, I grew up going to the chapel since I was 6 years old. So anyone who knew me may have said, yeah, I think he is. I think he's a Christian. The problem is, though, all this good veneer, this stuff on the outside, is just like a shell. Like, I don't know if you have a house. I have a house. The outside of my house is really gross and crappy because I haven't had time to work on it. But the inside's beautiful. So some people are the opposite. Like, they have a really nice looking house and you get inside and it's just a mess. And so my inside, the stuff, this secret stuff that was going on, and eventually it spilled out. But it started when I was around your age. When I was 12, I think was the first time that I'd ever looked at pornography on the internet. When I was 17 in high school was the first time that I ever tried drinking alcohol. When I was 23 in college was the first time that I ever tried abusing drugs. And just to give you a hint at what I was like before Jesus found me and what we all might be like without Jesus, turn with me in your Bible to Romans 1, chapter or verse 28, and we'll read till the end of the chapter. So even though on the outside I look good most of the time, this is what my heart was like. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. So, on the inside, that's the way I was born, is that. And it started out, I was a good boy, but eventually, after a while, you can't keep it on the inside anymore. and it starts spilling out. And so after it had spilled out for a while, you always hear pray this simple prayer and repeat after me, and I don't, God uses that. And that's not how I became. I don't even know. It's like, all I know is there's a lot of simple prayers in scriptures. In the scriptures, Isaiah, when he met God, he said, "Woe is me! I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live amongst a people of unclean lips." When Peter first met Jesus, he said, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm a wicked man." Jesus tells a parable of a tax collector and a Pharisee. The Pharisee goes in and he's like, "God, I'm a Lord, Sayer, look at me." And the tax collector can't even look up, and he just says, "Have mercy on me. I'm a sinner." And you know, at some point, I was coming home at night in my car, and I just said, "Jesus, I don't ever want you to leave me." And I don't know what that did or how long he had been chasing me, but after that, it was like 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "The old is gone and the new has come." I was different. I was something completely, radically different. I knew God. I knew Jesus. He had come to me and breathed his spirit into me and made my bones come to life. And so now it's like, from that point, everything's different now. Now I have the capacity to seek after God, and as I draw near to him, he draws near to me, and he's called me to be a disciple, not just a Lord Sayer, not just somebody who goes around seeing how I can justify myself. You know, like in Paul, sometimes he had to boast just to put people in his place, and at one point in 2 Corinthians, he's talking about all this stuff he's done, and he's like, "I'm raving like a madman," just talking off all this stuff, but in Philippians he says, "All this stuff, all this good stuff, all that stuff at the very beginning that I said these are my good deeds," like Paul said, "I count that as scubalon," which is like poop. That's all poop. That's nothing compared to the riches of knowing Jesus Christ. And furthermore, just one last thing is, I don't know, I get all these Bible characters, and I'm like, I see myself there, and it's never in the good characters. Like if you go around and you're like, "Yeah, I'm David, I'm Samson, I'm this and that," and maybe read the Bible, look for yourself in the villain, like, because we're more, like, you'll find yourself more in the villain if you're looking. And so, like one person is Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus in the middle of the night, and he's like, "Look, we know you're from God. Nobody can do this not being from God." And I mean, he's like a Lord Sayer. He's a Pharisee. He's on the council of the Sadducees, like the ruling people. And Jesus is like, "Look, you got all this stuff, but you have to be born all over again. None of that counts." And then in the next chapter, he comes to a woman at a well who's sexually immoral. She's living with five different guys throughout the course of her life, and he even comes to her and says, and preaches the gospel to her and loves her. And so, like, he comes for the Lord Sayer, and he comes for those who are absolutely ruined. And then after the woman at the well meets Jesus, she runs to town and she says, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." And what she was saying was, this guy knows exactly how disgusting I am on the inside. And Jesus knows exactly how disgusting I am on the inside. Like all the stuff that I said this morning, like, that was a nice way to put it. That was me churching it up. Like, I'm way worse than that, and Jesus still loves me. And so I just implore you to just come see a man who knows everything I've ever done, every evil thought that I've ever had, and he still loves me, and he still sought me and gave himself up for me and was cut off and bore the wrath of God for me. I don't know. That's, I guess, in the words of Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that. Thanks.